Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to Sunday Vibes Extra Time. Today we are discussing how to replace three giants of the modern game. I'm joined by Joe Tomlinson.
Hello.
And George Wright.
Hello.
And this week's episode is brought to you by The Athletic. And this season they're going to be making an effort to bring you the best coverage of your club thanks to the world-class team of writers they've assembled. Now, if you visit theathletic.co.uk/Sunday Vibes, all lowercase, you can receive 50% off your yearly subscription, which shakes out to just £2.50 a month. Incredible articles all over the site. And once you're behind that paywall, it's completely ad-free. No ads, no annoying pop-ups. The Athletic, the new home of football writing.
So as you know, we are going to three giants of the game to try and replace them. Not in like terms of job, we're bringing in some really good player for another one, but stylistically they have to be the same. First one is Cesar Azpilicueta of Chelsea, who turns 30 next month, I believe.
I think this month.
This month, maybe. I don't know. But we all know he's been a stalwart for Chelsea for years now, came over from Marseille. He's now a captain and stylistically a very defensive right back, also very versatile as well, which might be in some people's considerations. So, Pato, have you got any knowledge and any wisdom behind Azpi's time at Chelsea?
In a way, it's quite difficult to find replacements for him because it's quite difficult to nail what Azpilicueta is really good at outside of just defending. He's just really good at being a defender. Like, so he does pass a lot. Like, obviously last season under Sarri, everyone passed a lot, and Azpilicueta was no exception. 66 passes per 90 minutes, which is a lot for a right back, but actually more under Conte. Hit 75 under Conte and 66 the year before, so it was really important to the team's build-up play, even when they were playing in that back three. Obviously remember those diagonal balls to Morata, which were pretty profitable for them as well. Around three long balls a game, but pretty much 50% accuracy, so not spectacular at long passing, not amazing in the air either. About 60% wins on his aerial duels.
He's only like 5'10".
He's a small boy, right?
I think he might be 6 foot.
Really?
I think he's 5'10".
Okay, well, maybe
6 foot
right.
Feels optimistic. You haven't watched him if you,
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, like, that's the disadvantage when you play him as a centre-back. He's not particularly big. So he's not an especially great distributor. He's not particularly good in the air. He's not particularly attacking. He's never passed 0.5 dribbles per game. Has never cracked one key pass in a season. However, when the ball's on the deck, it's impossible to get past him. Routinely puts up 2.5 interceptions per 90 for Chelsea over the last 5 years, which is at the absolute top end. And his tackle success rate at its lowest was about 75%. It's generally been closer to 80, which is very high for a fullback. When you consider, you know, people going on about Virgil van Dijk not getting dribbled past last season, but actually centre-backs are rarely dribbled past because they have defenders either side of them and there's very little space behind them. Whereas fullbacks face the fastest players, often the most skillful players, and Azpilicueta is rarely beaten by them, despite the fact that we know the modern fullback role also requires you to get forward a lot and be one of the fittest players on the field. He also rarely fouls. He's never earned a red card for Chelsea and 22 yellows in 237 league appearances. So when he goes in for the tackle, he pretty much always gets it
right. He's a very intelligent footballer, isn't he? That's what I think he's most synonymous with, for me anyway, is that he's a brilliant reader of the game, which is probably why he's never booked.
Well, for a long time, he was playing left-back, wasn't he? Under Mourinho. Like, when they went and got Felipe Luis, people said, why aren't you playing Felipe Luis? And Mourinho said, I'll drop Azpilicueta when he makes a mistake. And Felipe Luis barely played that season and
He's just very steady. Like, you can't ask for more from a fullback in his prime years than just be consistent. Like, a good fullback is one. Maybe you don't notice him every now and then, but as long as they put in solid 7 out of 10s every game, you're fine for a title-winning fullback.
And when you say consistency as well, like, in the last four seasons, Premier League seasons, Azpilicueta has missed two Premier League games.
Yes.
It's like 38, 37, 38, 37. Like, two games in 4 years.
But in the new look Chelsea, under Frankie Lamps, I don't know how well he fits. I think maybe Frank wants more out of his fullback in an attacking sense. You've seen how high up the pitch Emerson's got in the first 2 weeks of the season. Against Manchester United, he had probably the best chance of the game, or one of the best chances of the game. Against Liverpool, he was in and around the sort of 6 yards, the edge of the box a lot. And I'm not sure that's where Dave is at his best.
I think that's not necessarily a problem if the other fullback is really good in attack. Like, you can kind of balance it out because then you can shift over and almost have a makeshift back three. But the first couple of weeks of the season, Azpilicueta hasn't been good enough defensively to justify his lack of attack, I think.
And I think also, I think that kind of works more if your right winger is a more attacking option. Like, sure. I think for Chelsea, they're loaded on the left with attacking threat of Pulisic and Emerson. And on the right, you look at Pedro as probably the more defensive forward of the two out of him and Pulisic. And Azpilicueta as the more defensive fullback. So teams are kind of just thinking, I'd imagine, if I was an opposition side lining up against Chelsea, let's funnel it right because they're much weaker distributing from the right hand side and attacking from the right and the other left.
I mean, well, we know that Frank Lampard's output, his like methods, are going to be entirely different to anyone Chelsea have had before with Azpilicueta. Like, we all know realistically that Reece James is going to come into the fold once he's fully fit and once he's ready to go. And I don't see where.
And we hope he's good enough.
Yeah,
and he might well be.
The thing with Azpi is that it's a problem for Azpi because he was excellent at 3 at the back, but 2 at the back, 5 foot 10, not great in the air. Would you trust him alongside Rudiger? But then again, would you trust Kurt Zouma Christensen over him? And there's just, I don't know whether, I think we will see a Rudiger SP partnership at the back at some
I don't think it's going to be a regular starting partnership, but I do agree with you. I think maybe in some of the cup competitions where the youngsters need a rest, you might see some of the more experienced players come in, and also in some of the bigger games, like when they've got to go to the Emirates, wouldn't be surprised to see Cesar Azpilicueta and Rudiger starting as a back two when there's not much aerial threat either in that side.
Well, exactly. Like that's the problem, actually. Chelsea were always a really big physical side, and actually they're probably the smallest they've been in a long time. Like, with Loftus-Cheek out, then unless Giroud's playing, well, I suppose when Tammy plays as well, you've got this, but you don't actually have a lot of height in the side. No. Like, Emerson is obviously the shorter option over Alonso.
Yeah.
Azpilicueta isn't that big. And then in the midfield, pretty much everyone's small. So you do start to look around and think, okay, well, maybe that's a weakness they can't afford. But I think in 90% of games, you can get away with having a 5 foot. Because his aerial win rate is still decent. Mm. Like, it's still like 60%. That's pretty solid. Like, when you're playing fullback, as a centre back, it's not really good enough.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be a massive weakness aerially. He's just not going to be a strength.
So we're predicting that Reece James is going to come into the fold.
Yeah.
But we've also bought alternatives in the case that Reece James doesn't get bought into the fold as to who they
could just sign. Someone, people who are more stylistically for Dave.
Yeah, so we're not really bringing people here who are just like, you know, like Kimmich, who's just like an incredible attacking fullback or whatever. Like, don't get me wrong, we want them to have a bit of attack, because I think you need to now. But really, we're looking for a guy here who's just fundamentally an amazing defender, who ideally is a bit positionally versatile, and who's solid on the ball. Like, those to me are the hallmarks of Cesar Azpilicueta. Yeah.
Should I go first?
Yeah, go on.
So, as I was saying about Reece James, I was looking into Lampard's Derby last year, and last year Derby County gave more minutes to players aged 21 under in the Championship last season than any other club.
Yes.
That was 13,000 minutes of football.
It did help that they took 200 players on loan.
Lampard did certainly use some favours from other clubs.
Called in the mates.
And we do expect him to want a progressive fullback rather than Azpilicueta. But someone who might be able to fill a gap very in the mould, not exactly. I thought it's very hard to find someone to match Azpilicueta.
I could not find somebody who's a like for like for Azpi. I just don't know whether that fullback exists at that top level in the modern game at the moment.
I feel like I found someone I like.
Okay.
I've gone for Sofiane Alakouche. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm hoping that's
a good effort. Yeah, I think flowed off the tongue, right. Giorgio.
Hoping that's how it's said. But he's 5'9", so not much difference. And both average in the air, so kind of matched that point already. Defensive output, very good. Like, I saw Azpi averaged in possession adjusted in 14-15, which is when he was at a fullback. I think it was under Mourinho. Was it under Mourinho or Conte? I can't remember. The years have gone too fast.
Yeah.
Averaged 6.4 tackles and interceptions, possession adjusted.
Jesus. That is absurd amounts, though, isn't it?
And Alakouche managed last season, obviously non-possession adjusted, we don't know. I haven't got that metric. I don't know how they do it. Was around 5. So very good defensively. But going forward, also not great. So Azpi in 14-15 averaged 0.1 completed crosses a game.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great.
Alakouche,
well, that depends what your attack's like.
Yeah. But they did have Diego Costa under Mourinho.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He brought him in.
Not considering he's pretty much in a big aerial
threat. It's a club you would like to have in your bag.
Yeah.
I get that.
Alakouche averaged 0.2 completed crosses a game last year.
Sick. Good fit.
But that is...
So you're just saying he lines up in the things that Azpilicueta is bad at. Yeah, he's also bad at pretty much.
Yeah, and I obviously we all think that Reece James is going to get given a chance, but I found it extremely hard to find someone in the mould of Azpi, and the players who can cover a fullback and a centre half spot are increasingly harder to find. I think.
Can we just make the point? I'm not sure whether we have already. These players that we've selected have to be 23 and under. I don't know whether we made that point earlier in the podcast, but we're picking from the youth on the market. We're not picking a Thomas Meunier to come in and fill
and roughly and roughly gettable for the team that are losing.
Yeah. We're not saying you can go out and get Kimmich like Pat said earlier.
Yeah. So I think Alakouche is an okay prospect. He was in the I think Nîmes he was at last year. I think that's where Sevigny was. And he was one of the best players in the league in last season. But obviously, they like shopping in the French market for Azpi. He was picked up in Marseille, which was weird. He was even there in the first place.
What was he doing there? How did he get
to Marseille?
He was at
Osasuna. Was he at Osasuna?
Who?
Azpi before.
Yeah, I think he was Osasuna, and then he was at Marseille, and then he joined Chelsea just after they won the Champions League, which is a bit sad that one of Chelsea's greatest servants didn't win the Champions League.
What a shame.
Yeah, Gary Cahill did, though, so he's obviously their best servant.
And Ryan Bertrand, so now flying.
Ross Turnbull.
But Alakouche, I reckon it'd be relatively cheap, but given as Roman Abramovich seems to be avoiding trying to get into country at all costs at the minute, I don't think they're going to be splashing out much within the next two seasons, given they've already got a transfer ban already.
I would agree. I also really struggled to find a like-for-like for Big Dave, so I mixed it up a little bit. I think Frank might well pull a little bit of an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when he's shopping in the market. I think he's probably going to look
British. Is that a good thing?
I think he's probably going to look British and he's going to look very young. I don't think he's going to go for the established names. I think he'll look to target the young players that have done well in the Championship and at slightly lower level Premier League club. So I've looked at Max Ahrens. Now, I think you'd struggle to get him out of Norwich for a reasonable fee. Yeah. Tottenham were extremely interested this summer, of course, but he did sign a 5-year contract at Norwich in July.
Why?
So he will be locked into the club for a little while, which means...
Unless they've agreed to like some sort of release buyout.
Yeah, or they might have a gentleman's agreement in there, but I'm not...
The ultimate.
You're not going to be paying what United did for Wan-Bissaka, I don't think, to get him out of Palace. I don't think Max Ahrens is at that level. Unless he has an incredible breakthrough season of Wan-Bissaka, I don't think he's probably one of the, if not the best fullback prospect in the world at the moment, like Wan-Bissaka. But still a really interesting little player. He is London-born, so I'm pretty sure he'd be open to a return back southwards. 6 assists last season. I think he is better going forwards than he is backwards. So, again, doesn't quite match up with the Azpilicueta mould. But the EFL Young Player of the Year, of course. An exceptionally good dribbler. I think only 2 defenders in the league last season completed more dribbles per 90 than Max Ahrens. And what he is doing is he's definitely developing his game defensively as part of a coherent system. And we haven't really seen that from Chelsea opening few weeks. They've looked a little bit all over the place at the back. Norwich last season were solid defensively. The 3rd best expected goals against in the Championship last season. And it wasn't because of one standout individual. It was very much because of a system and, Farke. Also a very entertaining team to watch. Scored a lot of goals. The most goals per game, not just for them, but as an entirety in a match.
Okay.
Last season was in Norwich games. Over 3 goals every single game Norwich played. So I'm expecting, again, fireworks this season, given that I think their opening 2 games have finished, 4-1, 3-1? Yeah. So expect a lot of goals in Norwich games if you are gambling this season and looking for both teams to score markets. Get them on whatever team Norwich are playing. He's just an all-round solid fullback. I think it's 3.4 tackles and interceptions, 1.5 dribbles per 90, one key pass per 90. He was playing nearly 50 passes per 90 at nearly 90% pass accuracy. Wow. So you can see why Tottenham were very interested. Pochettino has a good nose for fullbacks. He sniffed out some absolute gems over the past few seasons. And I think if he's interested in Max Aarons, a lot of other people should be as well. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Chelsea target a player like Max Aarons under Frank at all. So I'm putting his name in the mix, but I still think it's going to be Reece James upon return.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, I think Max Aarons is a really exciting prospect. My one concern about him is that he does get a lot of protection from Buendia ahead of him.
Yeah, but he would get protection on that right-hand side from Kante, you'd be thinking, if he was at Chelsea.
That is true.
Because Kante is kind of playing in that right-hand, slightly more advanced role, isn't he, with Jorginho sat in. Yeah. So.
But also, we just assume, like, everything we've known about Chelsea is kind of changing at the moment. Like, they were so Hazard-dependent, and the right wing, you know, like, they've gone the complete opposite direction from the Ivanovic days, right? Where the right back is, like, really defensive in a way that in Ivanovic, he was like, playing as a winger or at times even as a striker almost.
Yeah. But I also think that Pedro, at least as many flaws he has to his game, like his defensive work rate is solid.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't
have... I thought he was good against Leicester, actually.
I wouldn't have too much issue playing a more attacking fullback, and I think that's probably why Reece James might get the nod ahead of Dave if he plays Pedro on that right-hand side, which he looks like he's probably going to as part of that front three. I think throughout the season it will be Pulisic, Giroud / Tammy and Pedro. Nearly every night.
Yeah.
Not many other options, is there? Who have you gone for then, Pat? How have you found a like for like?
I've gone for Nordi Mukiele.
Right, okay.
He's a defender at RB Leipzig, joined them from Montpellier back in 2018. I remember reading about him at the time because he was also linked to Arsenal before he went. He's French, he's 21, he's 6'1". He hasn't really been a regular starter, but that's not necessarily his fault. Neither was Upamecano last season. And because of Upamecano, Konate, Orban, and then Lima and Klosterman on the right, and he hasn't necessarily played.
And like Willy Orban is like the quintessential fan favourite as well, isn't he? Like,
and he's great. He's like, really good. Yeah. And both those young centre-backs are really good. And Mukiele's a bit of a tweener. It's not quite certain what he is. And in that sense, I quite like Azpilicueta. But I do think he is going to be key going forward. So now Nagelsmann switched to a back three.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side of that three, Mukiele looks like the perfect player because he can defend wide. He's extremely quick. I think he's
so not a wing-back, as the right-hand side of a centre-back.
The right-hand centre-back, yeah, because he can defend in the wide areas, but also he's got the size to defend centrally. I think he will also get some right-back minutes if they play with a back four at any stage.
So who's
going to
be that back three? Is it going to be Upamecano, Konate?
First game of the season, it was Orban, Konate, and Mukiele. I imagine that we will see some rotation around there because they're all fast. So they can all. So it's not one of those back threes where you're like, okay, well, this guy has to be in the middle because he's too slow in the wide
areas. That's why they've brought Ethan Ampadu in, isn't it?
Yeah, Ethan Ampadu as well. Like, though I could also see Ethan Ampadu playing in that deep midfield role where previously, you know, like, Grealish has done it. I mean, it depends. Tyler Adams is out at the moment. But Ampadu's a lot younger than even those guys. Like, Ampadu, especially in terms of game time. But, I don't know. Like, the fact that Mukiele can play in these multiple roles makes... obviously immediately made me think of him as like an Azpilicueta comp. And then when you look at his numbers, they kind of back it up as well. 1.8 interceptions a game last year. Only Konate and Upamecano were higher at Leipzig.
So last season, did he play as an out-and-out right-back most of the time?
No, last season he played a little over half his time as a right-back.
Okay.
And the rest as centre-back. But when he tackles, he's obscenely successful. So he was actually third in the Leipzig squad for total tackles a game. 2.8 tackles a game. That's quite a lot. But while Konrad Leimer, who also played right back at stages, ranked first in the squad for tackles with 3.5, he failed with 2.4. Mukiele fails with 0.2 per game.
So
of the 41 tackles, or the 41 tackles he attempted in the Bundesliga, he completed 38.
So if he's going for it, he's winning it.
Which gives him a 93% success rate, which is the same as Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, it's Wan-Bissaka style.
Yeah, it's not. He obviously doesn't have the same quantity as Wan-Bissaka, but he's still making a lot of tackles and he's getting it right almost all the time.
I mean, and to compare him to like Wan-Bissaka, he's like a freak in the tackle. I've never seen anything like
it. But Mukiele's similar in the sense of being just extremely fast.
Yeah.
Like Mukiele, if somebody gets past him, you think someone's gone past him, but his recovery pace is so good that it doesn't happen. He's got an aerial win rate of 57% right now, which is not tremendous, though not far off Aspi's. But I do think aerial win rate generally, we see it get better as players get older. I think because of a combination of muscle and experience. So I think that will help him. Passing pretty strong, 43 passes game last year. So that's like above Konate on about 38 and above both the other right backs around 35. And in the first game of this season, he led the side in passes. He made 94. The next best was 76 in the squad. And long balls, the only guy who completed more than him was Peter Gulacsi in goal. He completed 6 of the 8 he attempted, and he made five interceptions and 2 tackles.
Like, solid.
They won 4-0. Like he had an absolutely ridiculous game. And I think, as well, what's quite promising as well is that he would add a bit more in attack as well. Like last season, when you look at his numbers per 90, it's a bit misleading because obviously he did spend half his time playing centre back, so you'd expect that would bring his dribbles down, his key passes down. Still hit a key pass a game, still 1.3 dribbles a game. When he played just as right back, 1.8 dribbles a game.
Yeah, so that's Max Aaron's numbers.
It's kind of like Abdou Diallo as well at Dortmund. You're seeing these guys who are really accomplished centre backs, but when they play left back or right back, they're just as good. They're now so athletic that they're capable of playing.
Did anybody catch that PSG game, by the way, first week? Where was Diallo playing?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but they all got schooled by a 16-year-old.
Yeah, Rent.
He was good, man.
Yeah.
Like, but I just think, look, Upamecano was obviously always the top prospect. And I think he still marginally is. I still think there's a sense among people who watch a lot of Leipzig that Upamecano is like the kind of more intelligent, like... Mm. player with a higher ceiling than say Konate, who's more of like a physical specimen. But I think that Mukiele kind of combines the best of both, and it reminds me a bit of Diallo last season, where there was a lot of talk about Zagadou, there was a lot of talk about Akanji, and I thought quietly Diallo was the best. And I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 or 4 years time Mukiele is a guy who we look at and say actually he was the best of that club.
And I'm also not sure how good Leipzig are at selling players. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm like, the FIFA Naby Keita felt low at the time, didn't it? What was it, 50, 60 million? 66, the FIFA Timo next summer is going to be what, zero? Is he out of contract?
Bayern want one offer to more than 25 million euros from this summer?
Which feels like a bit of a mistake not selling him, but they might be that cash rich they can get away with it, and they might be so confident in the funnel of players through Salzburg and across the Americas that they can back it. But I think you can get players out of Leipzig for a more reasonable fee than people think. Like, even when you boys were linked with Upamecano, what was it, at 60?
Well, they wanted his buyout in the end.
It's like 90 million euros they wanted.
So that's quite a big chunk.
But who knows, though? Like, that might have just been because of, like, the stage in the window. And, like, I think after a year there, we'll see. If Mukiele plays every game this season, he's going to be expensive. Mm. If he doesn't, I think you can still get one of them, because Orban isn't old. He's the oldest of them.
Mm.
But at the end of the season, I just don't think there's any way that they can have given enough minutes to Konate, Upamecano and Mukiele that all three of them are happy to stay. And also, even if Leipzig are in the Champions League, a club like Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, you know, whatever, those clubs are still going to be a step up to them. Yeah, like they are. They're going to pay them more and they're going to say, you are our starter. Like, if Arsenal had paid that, if Arsenal paid 50, 60 for Upamecano, I guarantee he'd have played every game. So, I don't know. I think that you're probably right. Like, Mukiele will probably go, if he does get sold, say next summer, he'd go at slightly below the rate, which I think would be commensurate with his talent.
Mm. Okay, so I think we can probably all agree that was the best pitch.
Yeah.
So it looks like...
Reece James is still going in there.
It looks like it's going to be Reece James.
Still
going
to be Reece James, yeah.
Probably around September time, Reece James will just appear and not go away. Who's we got next? Which ageing player do we need to replace next?
So next up is Luka Modric.
Oh, you might notice we've done a defender, a midfielder and an attacker as well, by the way.
Who would have thought it? So Luka, good old Luka, turning 34 in a month's time.
Wow.
Still a mainstay in Madrid's side.
Mm.
And which is a side which has arguably never been worse in the 2010s of Real Madrid.
Yeah, probably fair.
Harsh. Did you see some of the football on the weekend? It was golden, mate. It's actually liquid. Wait,
last season.
Yeah, but the defending wasn't Jesus.
Barca finished 19 points ahead of Madrid last season. That's the biggest lead over them at any stage since 1990.
Yeah, and still Barcelona fans moan.
Yeah.
It's like Messi's dragged them to that 19-point lead, mate.
Well, it's what he does, isn't it? It's and their midfield is due for revitalisation at some point. I mean, Casemiro, Kroos, Modric all been together now for, what, half a decade? I think they all started together, not 2015, but 2016 Champions League final was their first, like...
As a three.
Yeah, as a three, yeah, like, they, trophy.
Because Casemiro came back a little bit later, didn't he? It was Alonso with them before.
Because he went on loan to Porto, didn't he, Casemiro?
Yeah, where he was just, like, crushing it.
And this is all despite Luka Modric being crowned as La Liga's worst signing in 2012 in a poll conducted by Marca. And they've since won four Champions Leagues, with him arguing one of the best, most consistent performers throughout.
He won the Ballon d'Or, did he? Did he win the Ballon d'Or? He won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, and lastly, he won the Ballon d'Or.
In fairness, second place was Alex Song, and they did get that one right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's won the Ballon d'Or, Luka.
Alex Song to win the Ballon d'Or
I mean,
next season.
I'm not saying I supported Luka win the Ballon d'Or, but I mean...
Yeah, fair candidate for the top three, candidate. Though.
But when you look at Modric, you think, what is he good at? And the answer is pretty much everything in central midfield at his peak. Discipline-wise, he's got his first red card in La Liga history.
Which is VAR on like an accidental stud.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So he's got one red card in central midfield in 15,000 minutes in the Liga, which is not bad.
Notoriously a nice guy, though.
He does do a lot of defence.
Yeah, that's the thing. Given it at 31, he was making 3.7 tackles in sessions a game, possession adjusted, obviously. And he played pretty much every game possible. And obviously, we all know Luka Modric's magic feet. Good press evader and ranked 7th in the league last season for dribbles as for centre midfielders and also being fouled 1.5 times a game. And with Modric as well, you look at him and he's Kroos is too immobile to be avoiding any press apart from that weird feint he does, which somehow manages to skill up people every single time.
It is good though. I would like to learn to do it.
And the switch of play.
Yeah.
Which is just stays 3 inches off the floor the entire way. It travels 100 yards.
His goal at the weekend as well. It's genuinely obscene.
Like at their pomp, like I don't think you could find a better fit for a midfield three. And then, like,
careful, Xavi and Iniesta.
Well, no, but like, I mean, in terms of like roles, like you have an absolute destroyer in Casemiro. He literally does not care about anyone's well-being.
Sure, and he also manages to like get that. He has the most clutch goal-scoring record as well. Like Casemiro will hit one in like a Champions League final, and it'll bounce off like three people and like a seagull and go in the bottom corner, like he did against Juventus. It was absolutely filthy.
And you've got Toni Kroos is like possibly one of the slowest midfielders to ever play in Spain, which is saying something, because they're all notoriously slow. Like Danny Parejo still knocking about at like 2 hours.
And he wears the same boots. Yeah. He still wears the same boots as he had in 2006.
Yeah.
Xavi Alonso is better. He's just better at everything.
Yeah, but Taker is pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right.
So obviously, Luke is more in... The main one who's like progressing the ball upfield, like on the floor, rather than Toni Kroos like absolutely spraying it. Mm. And this is at 33 years of age. So, in general, we need someone to replace Modric who's... I would say not like a presence in midfield, but someone who you know he's like reliable on the ball. You know if... About four people chasing down, you know he's going to get out at a tight pace, make a good pass. Like Modric always plays like a perfectly weighted pass,
and he doesn't get a lot of balls in the assists, right?
Yeah.
But he does get the ball into the final third a lot. Like I was looking at those deep progressions that Statsman put up, and it's like 10 or 11 routinely, which is right up about like the 90th percentile. Like just 10 or 11 again and again and again and again. And so while he doesn't get the assist, he gets the ball to the person who then gets the assist.
A lot.
Yeah. So who wants to kick it off with Modric's replacement? Okay. That big task.
I've got a really long list of players that like we can't do. You know, it's like, would Kovacic be good? Yeah, probably. Would Brozovic be good? Yeah, he'd be great.
I'll tell you
and
another
Ndombele,
name.
Lo Celso, they'd be good.
Well, Lo Celso, I very nearly did. In fact, I was this close to doing because I still think I don't think he'd be at Tottenham next season.
What?
No, I don't think it'd be a Tottenham this season.
What do you mean?
What, because the option to buy?
So £55 million option to buy, if they get in the Champions League, that is active. It's an obligation to buy, if they get in the Champions League.
Oh.
If they don't get in the Champions League, it's an option to buy. So it's going to be an obligation to buy, but the obligation to buy does not mean that other clubs can't be bidding and that he has to go to Tottenham. If he doesn't want to go back to Tottenham, he doesn't have to go to Tottenham.
Oh, that's a good point.
So,
how much they pay you on loan? Like 13 mil.
quite a bit.
Imagine they pay that and you don't even go there afterwards.
But it makes you think there must be some way that like that it's there's no way.
There's got to be no way. Like it would feasibly, be the most Spurs thing to ever incredibly, happen. Incredibly unlikely to happen. But I am not ruling out Real Madrid after an incredible season under Poch coming in and going, here's the 88 up front. God, to Batiste, and Batiste going, okay. And and suddenly Lo Celso goes, definitely go Madrid.
God, that would make me happy.
I still think Lo Celso, it's unlikely. I still think it's unlikely, so I've not put him in up. And the man that is the perfect candidate to replace him is already at the club. It's Dani Ceballos.
Boo.
No, we want him.
I know you want him. There's sod all chance you're keeping him. Absolutely no chance you're keeping him.
I love him.
At the weekend, Arsenal fans sat around me. I was at the Emirates and they were going, oh, you know, this is going to be just like Kovacic. They're going to let him go at the end of the season, 50 mil. But they're just not. Like, he is so good. Like, he was so much better than everybody else on the pitch at the weekend. Everybody sat around me as well was going, oh, we've got Cesc Fabregas 2.0. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't think he plays at Cesc Fabregas.
It's much more rounded. It's more like Santi.
Exactly what I've got written down.
My mum said it was like watching a peak Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, mate, so many people around me said that. So, I think it's like Santi Cazorla 2.0. Like, the way he receives the ball with pressure at his back and feints left and goes right, or a little flick around the corner, first time ball, is exactly what Santi
But the only reason why people don't compare Santi Cazorla is because he's big. And he's a bit gangly as well. He's not as aesthetically pleasing. He is, but it's not like as smooth.
But it's the same flicks around the corner that Azpi used to like be so good at when the ball's pinged into him and he doesn't even take a touch. He just flicks around the corner and it's suddenly out of Aubameyang's feet and there's a break on. But what he has that I think Cazorla, Santi doesn't have is as much defensive output. I'm not saying Santi was bad going backwards because we all know he was excellent, but at Madrid last season he was putting up 5.5 tackles and interceptions per 90. Like,
yeah, he's a grafter. I mean,
he's a grafter, mate.
Aubameyang with that tackle
and,
basically.
But that is what I think he's going to be great at for you, is pressurizing in the right area and winning balls back in the right area. And it's part of the reason that I think that Torreira's not going to play much football this year.
No. I think Torreira will play all the big games.
Yeah, I agree. But I think when you're playing the more middling to lower sides, at home in particular, I don't think there's any need for Lucas Torreira. When you can play Ceballos and Guendouzi and get massive defensive output and transition from them.
Yeah.
I did see after...
Generally, I agree.
Play another forward going forward.
I do think Guendouzi started the season really well, but I still think Torreira, I mean, other than Ceballos, Torreira is our best midfielder. I think Torreira's more progressive on the ball than he's given credit for. There's a part of me as well that wants Ceballos to have utter freedom to do anything he wants. And I think that in that sense, like Cazorla played really well when he had Coquelin next to him. And in that sense, it might help to have Torreira next to Ceballos just so he does have the freedom to get into the 10 space or drift wide, whatever it might be.
Maybe, but I just think Ceballos is going to do that anyway. Like, he's going to... When he just drifts around, he's going to, like, pick up tackles, pick up interceptions all the time naturally because he's just so instinctive.
I did see, I don't know if it might have been after Newcastle when he literally came off for about half an hour or like 40 minutes or something. It might have been against Burnley. It was like he had the most pressures out of anyone
in the league. In that entire league, 17. And he came on in like the, 70th minute? Like I just think he is also a shithouse, which is just great for Arsenal.
He really is.
Like he's a really good tactical fouler. Like when they're breaking away, flicks the heels of Burnley players all the time. There was so many times off the ball on the weekend where a ball was hoofed across the pitch by Burnley, which happened a lot. And there was two or three midfielders breaking and you could just see Ceballos just heaving on someone's shirt. And it happened at the very end. They were breaking and there was an off the ball incident with Ashley Barnes. And that was all because Barnes was pissed off with Ceballos doing it to him earlier. Ceballos got subbed off and Barnes like tried to pull somebody else back in the midfield. That was all Ceballos shithousery that stopped that final counter-attack. I just think he's the perfect player to replace Modric. Maybe not exactly like for like, but nearly 9 deep progressions, upwards of 90% pass accuracy, high tackles and interception numbers, really good in pressure situations, a fantastic dribbler, 1.4, 1.5 dribbles per 90, fouled all the time. He was fouled 3.5 times a game last season. And I think he'll probably be even more at Arsenal this season.
It definitely will be.
So injuries might play a part, because I think he'll probably pick up a few this season at Arsenal, just sprained ankles and studs in the back of his leg and stuff. But he's the perfect player to replace Modric.
It's so sad that we're only going to get one season.
He's doing an internship. He's on work experience at Arsenal.
We'll be, unless... The only thing that can give us hope is that Zidane clearly does not like him at all. Like, Zidane clearly does not really rate him. He actually played quite a lot under Lopetegui.
But how many of us three actually think Zidane will be there at the start of 2021?
Fingers crossed he is.
I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Genuinely, do you think he will?
Depends. I mean, if he sends Jovic out on loan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's got quite a lot of power there now. I think, I don't know, man.
He wouldn't have got back into that job unless he had serious leverage over Florentino Perez.
And who do they get?
Oh, there are options out there.
What, Allegri?
Allegri.
Allegri. They're going to take Tuchel off PSG. I know he signed that new 2-year extension.
He's going to... No, Tuchel definitely will not be at PSG next year.
Oh.
There is zero chance. Yeah, you can't lose to Rennes in the first game of the season. Like, so also the way they limped over the line as well at the end of last season. I don't know. I feel
the Neymar fiasco.
They defended horribly at the weekend. Real Madrid did against Celta, but I still think they'll broadly be fine. And like,
but they're still not going to win the league
unless they finish.
They're not going to win the Champions
unless
league.
They finish at a distant third to Atleti. Yeah. I think Zidane's job is probably safe.
Yao Felix is going to try his single-handed utmost to do that. Because, by the way, we weren't sure on the kid, but he's freaky, mate.
Yeah,
he's outrageous. Yeah,
Atleti had about 6 shots in that game. Like, I was watching that game. I watched the first half of that match, and Yao Felix did absolutely nothing. And then, like, later on, people were going wild about him. And I was like, what happened? It was like, oh, he skilled one guy up on one of pen.
But, it was like from his own half. It was like watching Kaka
don't get me
run
wrong,
through.
Don't get me wrong, it's great, but I'm like, but... Let's just wait a minute.
Oh. Yeah, I think he's a bit special.
I hope he's good.
He's got a bit of Kaka about him, hasn't he? He has got that long, rangy stride. Kaka, Ronaldinho stride.
And that horrible long hair as well.
Also, have you seen that skill he did in training? Was it for Benfica? You're not seeing it? When he does the Saxon on his head. You know the most advanced rainbow flick on FIFA? Not the normal one, the one where he flicks out first and then it's, it was here. We did that over the keeper. It's just outrageous.
Oh, my God.
Who else is bringing somebody to the table as a Modric replacement?
Go on, Pato.
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean,
I've
got another young Spanish midfielder. I've got Fabian Ruiz, who is a bit more of an attacking mid. Though I think it is worth remembering that Modric played 10 for a minute at Spurs. Like, he did play there for a little while. Last year, Fabian Ruiz got 9 goal involvements for Napoli, same as the year before for Betis. Actually, the same as Modric got for Real Madrid. And last season, Modric's 9 goal involvements at Real Madrid, best season of his Real Madrid career for goal involvements. I think it actually might be the best season of his career overall.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That's never really been his role. But Fabian Ruiz, he's got way more attacking since he moved to Napoli from Betis, also a former Betis player. 2.8 key passes last season in Italy, 1.1 in Spain, 2.3 shots per game, up from 1.4 in Spain. So he has basically moved forward into an attacking midfield role. But before he went, he was making 5 tackles and interceptions a game. And I think that the fact he's also played as the DM pretty much for Spain's under-21 side, like, he is like Ceballos. He's this generation of new Spanish players where he can basically play anywhere.
Yeah.
Like Thiago Alcantara. You could play as a 6, an 8, a 10. It doesn't really matter. Just huge, huge, like, defensive output. Great dribble numbers. Great creative numbers. A really good passer. And I mean, the passing element is really important. I mean, like, we think of Kroos as the passer in that midfield, but that's because that's all he does. But Modric also, I was looking at his 2013-14 season, and his pass accuracy on long balls alone was 89%. Just on his long balls. What is he doing? I mean, it's absolutely obscene. And Fabio Ruiz, good dribble numbers across both clubs, Napoli and Betis, around 2 a game. And last season, 12 deep progressions a match. So actually more than Modric there. Really good pass to 81 passes a game last season. 78% completion rate just on long balls, which is very good for a guy who's 23. I think he's probably one of the best midfield prospects in the world. And I think that is what you need, right?
Yeah.
You're looking for a Modric replacement. I want one of the best midfield prospects in the world.
But they've been hoovering them up for years. Like, Llorente, gone. Ceballos, gone. Like, they just keep hoovering them up and fucking him off.
Yeah, but I mean, like, It's not a bad technique to buy those guys like reasonably cheap and young and hope one of them develops. The annoying thing is that they just don't seem to be
using them.
Yeah, exactly. Like the rumours about Jovic going out on loan as well are genuinely troubling, because you do just see this Real Madrid side that are going to run their old guys into the ground until there's nothing left.
Karim Benzema playing on his shins at 48.
Yeah, I'm genuinely worried that, like, not just this season, but maybe even the season after, we will see Benzema starting. We will see, like, Modric and Kroos starting. We will see Sergio Ramos starting and Marcelo. Like, it is really troubling because...
It's so old.
This is one of the problems when you have a golden generation. It's incredibly hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But actually, what you... And Barcelona are having the same issue. But actually what you need to do is say, like, okay, like, these guys have given us everything. Bye. Like, have a little golden handshake and off you go into the sunset. And Luka Modric deserves to be put out to pasture, because he's just like, he needs to have a sit down. He's just been running constantly, well, doing everything.
At least
in
his rotation. Like, I think Lucas can still offer something.
Oh, no, I agree. But... it's just that just let him retire.
Yeah. Give him a break.
Just let him do whatever he wants. He's deserved it.
I like Fabian Ruiz, though.
Yeah.
Fabio Ruiz and Ceballos in central midfield for Spain is, and plus Rodri, by the way, that is quite frightening.
Rodri looks 30, by the way.
That's going to be there. Like, plus you've got Saul, plus you've got Koke. Like, I mean, you do look at them and you think, this is... I'm not saying this is going to be Xavi, Iniesta and Busquets, but you do look at it and think, this is another golden generation.
Yeah. Shall I go and finish off with mine?
Go on.
Well, another name I can't really pronounce.
Yeah, go on.
Hossam. Awa.
Yeah, Awa.
Awa.
Awa. Awa. Awa.
To me, this, stylistically, this feels like a really good fit, yeah. Right? Like, you watch him and he seems a bit Modric-y.
It's like when you put the radar together as well, like, you could do like a crossover, like, it's pretty much near identical as well. Like, obviously, Awa is just 21. French, Algerian descent, obviously. So Zidane, buck your ideas up. And he started off this season well as well. I mean, last game he's got two assists and a goal, and one of them was, I don't know if it was offside because the highlight was so brutally cut it didn't have a second replay, but one was like a scoop over the whole of their defence, just straight to Memphis, who just
I watched a highlight video the other day, and it just kept cutting, but each time it cut to the celebration after a goal and then it only showed the replay. It was so weird.
Did anybody see Memphis' turn at the weekend? Was it?
Does he just kill someone?
It just awful. I don't know who the defender is, but he's. I think it might be career over. Memphis has actually turned into a pork pie in the stage of 3 seconds.
It was Ongers who did sell one of their best players to Lyon.
Yeah,
as well. True. But back to Awa. I mean, the dribbling is the main standout with Awa and his comparisons to Modric. Need 2 dribbles a game, winning 1.6 fouls a game, pretty much identical to Luka. And if you just watch him play football, it's just like a joy. Like,
he's quite petite, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's five. He's I've got it written down, actually. He's like 1 inch taller than Modric.
Okay.
So,
but he's very slight.
Yeah, he'll fill out a bit, but Modric isn't exactly built either, is he? True. He's quite.
Sure, but if
quite
you're not going to be, you've either got to have incredible lower body strength or just have the best anticipation.
And Modric did really, like, when he was in the Prem, he honed his balance skills, because people used to batter in the back of Luka Modric. He used to just spin him, didn't he?
Yeah. That's the thing with Awa, it's kind of easy. When you look at him play, he's got that low centre of gravity anyway. So he's quite nice on the ball to watch, very aesthetically pleasing. And the skill set in Spain, you're not going to get as. In the Champions League, you worry a bit, but he was still killing the Champions League for Lyon last year. I think he ran the game against Man City when they won. And like Modric, he isn't really afraid to do the hard yards either. Like last year, possession justice, I think he did 3.8 tackle interceptions a game, which is not bad for a guy. That's he solid. Kind of, when I watched him, he kind of drifts out to the left a lot, like attacking left third quite a bit because Memphis goes in.
Yeah.
But still putting in the graft. And his pressures aren't really great. They're quite average for like a stats one template, are quite in middle of range, but you think that will come with age and with in a different system, maybe on a different manager. Like, he's under Silvino this year, so who knows? He could develop into an unreal manager.
I think he might actually have a really interesting year, because with Ndombele gone, he might be asked to do more, and you might just see some of his numbers pop, because it looks like he could do everything. Like, he was linked with City as a Fernandinho replacement, right? So you're like, okay, like there's obviously like quite a lot of faith there that he can replicate like the defensive numbers and still do the dribbling and still do the passing.
I mean, I feel like if you're that age around like 20 to like 23 and you're like an all-rounder midfield with good numbers in each category, you there's still a lot of time to like specialise in a position. And I feel like Rodri had, when he was at Villarreal, I think he was kind of a bit more all-round than he was at Atletico, which is obvious.
Definitely.
And then at City, he's going to be under Pep, who's just going to transform into one of the best DMs in the world, obviously. And we're back to Arwalo. Like, same amount of pass game as Modric, really, but it's a deep progression to which kind of set him apart. But obviously, he's not might not be asked to do the same job, so it's kind of harder. Like, when you watch him play, he's definitely more than capable of driving forward with the ball, either with a dribble or with a long ball. But 7.2 last year, which is off Modric's 9.3 I looked at, I think was last campaign's Modric. So it's not, which wasn't Modric's best year for progression, I don't think. I don't think he's got higher than that. Don't quote me on that. But I just can't see a world where Madrid make a smart sign in the midfield.
How old is that?
We can Pogba. Already put all this, it's going to be Pogba. Next season will be Pogba. Pogba will leave Manchester United next season. We've done well to keep hold of him for one more year. He's not going to be there next season.
I mean, he would be amazing for Madrid.
He's
but it would make so much more sense to spend that money on two guys. Or no money on Ceballos.
Yeah, but they have the option of bringing Pogba back and Ceballos for free.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to, I'd imagine, exercise that. I just think Pogba will be the Real Madrid centre mid.
Yeah.
If not in January, in the summer.
Like Florentino Perez had his spate of smart signings this summer. So you know it's going to be something incredibly stupid next summer.
But they have been, like we said a minute ago, like they have had some smart signings in the background of the last few years. Look at like Llorente, look at Ceballos, look at Teo Hernandez, players like that. And they just don't get a sniff, do they? So it is what it is.
To me, I think, who are we going for here? I mean, like, there's a part of me that thinks Aouar would be like maybe the
Let's go
best
Aouar.
Fit stylistically. But I don't know. I would say out of the three of these, if I were Real Madrid, I'd be like, we're bringing back Ceballos, not just because we own him, but because he is going to be that player today, like instantaneously.
I mean,
great.
I mean, you look at him in Spanish as well, like homegrown, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ceballos for me would be the perfect fit in Madrid's midfield, but I just can't see it happening. I think
just
he will get
any
sold.
Midfield, man.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Right, we're moving on to our forward now. This is not as big a name as you might have heard so far.
He's a titan of the game.
He is a titan.
Difficult to replace.
Jamie Vardy, a very difficult player to replace. And God knows Leicester have tried to replace him. And God knows they need to get it right this time because they've spent $80 million in the last 3 years on strikers.
Jesus.
$30 million on Purple Patch Perez, of course, who came this summer. Still very unconvinced about that one. $25 million on Iheanacho.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite panned out the way we thought it would and hoped it would for Kelechi. And $27.5 million on Slimani, who has today joined Monaco on loan. So they've got a pretty grim
record. Monaco.
Yeah.
Monaco are having a horrific summer.
So we need to get this one right. Leicester needs to get this one right. And he's a difficult man to replace because his goal scoring record for his entire career is just incredible. We're not going to run through his whole backstory because you've heard it by now, but he's 32 years old at this stage. He doesn't take a lot of shots.
No.
He's not a shot monster. 2.6 shots per 90, but all of his shots come from good areas. Just 5 of his 79 shots last season came from outside the box. And he is the quintessential shoulder-playing striker. Like, he is constantly hanging on the striker, ready to burst.
He's an absolute nightmare for any, like...
I know.
Like, his top four record is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, because they play a little bit higher. As soon as they play a little bit higher, 10 yards, that's all he needs, 10 yards. And I think Danny Simpson said as much in an article with The Athletic this week. It was by Laurie Whittle, who'd interviewed him and gone through basically his best attribute team. So, like, headers he'd played with, he gave it to Andy Carroll. And his pace, Danny Simpson, he said the fastest player he's played with, bearing in mind he's played with Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, is Jamie Vardy. Like, Jamie Vardy, over 10 yards, he ranks quicker than Cristiano Ronaldo, which is just crazy to think about. But I mean, you can partially see why it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, when a team pushes up 10 yards, when Chelsea are playing 10 yards higher up the pitch than West Ham do, he just seems to have acres, Jamie Vardy. Like, on the weekend, there was a moment where I think it might have been Madison came inside, slipped it down the left-hand side, and Vardy ran in behind, ran off the back of Christensen, bent his run, perfectly timed, left foot, and missed it by 3 or 4 yards to the right-hand post.
Yeah.
But that was like the prime Vardy chance.
Or another prime Vardy moment was the other weekend we enjoyed just talking
about.
It. When, I don't know who, I forgot who it was against.
It was a Wolves player, man. It was a Wolves player.
It might have been Johnny. I think it might have been Johnny.
Oh, I think it was one of the
like,
Wolves new boys.
Johnny was just waiting for the ball to go out, just casually, like in his own world. No idea what's coming.
Time-wasting a bit.
Yeah, and you just see Jamie Vardy, just for no reason, just in the corner flag, just sprint after it.
Sprint like from the opposite side of the pitch, just at full gas. You see everybody else just walking towards him. Vardy is coming to blindside this
and
guy.
And turns around and looks so angry as well.
And Johnny turns around and he just sees Vardy coming full pace. Vardy just absolutely cracks him in the tackle, just splinters him. And Johnny just turns around like, why did you do that to me? And Vardy's just turning around like, his face just scared. Of a person that is clearly trying to waste 30 seconds of game time. But either way, he's going to be a very difficult man for Leicester to replace. I think he got 18 goals last season in the Premier League, 20 before that. So he's going to be a nightmare. Who's got a replacement? Because I found it also hard to replace him.
I mean, with especially under 23s, because his game is like that of a veteran striker.
And you need to find someone here who basically has the striking record of like a top six striker, but who's gettable for a non-top six team.
Yes, exactly.
That's really hard.
Like, it's a huge gamble. I mean, I'm not surprised that they've spunked 80 million and not been able to sign a proper replacement.
Yeah, though I do just think they could just do like what clubs like Watford do and just like and buy in or RB Leipzig and just buy in like 3 or 4 young prospects like for like 10 mil each, rather than going let's get Islam Slimani who cannot run for 28 mil. Mental.
I mean, speaking of Watford, this is a player who Watford have hoovered up and have been loaned out for 2 years under the whole Granada Udinese and Watford deal.
Definitely not shady.
Cucho Hernandez, who you spoke about often.
Oh, yeah, Pato. I like this guy.
20-year-old, just returned from a 2-year loan to Huesca, where he netted 19 and 60, that's including the second tier of Spain, as well as the top flight, which they got relegated in. And he's quite bulldogish when you watch him play. He's Colombian, and you can see that dirty South American side to him. Like, Vardy has got that like vicious side to him. Like, he's very aggressive.
He
hates everyone when he's on the football
also
pitch.
Also lives off the pitch on snus and Red Bull. Just goes through pounds snus. Absolutely hammers it. And he has it at the same time as well. Snus and a Red Bull. Puts it in and drinks a Red Bull.
But so Cucho Hernandez was his first time playing top flight football last year for Huesca. He scored 4 and assisted 3 in 2,100 minutes. Not exactly great numbers. And going back to aggressiveness, he got more yellow cards than he did goals last season. He got 6.
I'm smelling a Morelos here, mate.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they could do a Morelos. Who knows? But his XG was around 0.44 per 90. So I think he massively underperformed last year in terms of taking his chances. And that's Vardy got 0.47 last year, which isn't great. But I mean, he's so clinical, Vardy, that you have to like take it a pinch of salt. Like, he's going to finish, especially if he's one-on-one, he's bound to score. And that's where the majority of his chances come from, especially against the top four.
Plus, he wins a lot of pens.
Yeah, he's diving all over the place, doesn't he?
But he does have that ability, doesn't he, just to like gets his toe first and then just suddenly just springs himself over.
And
he
is one of the best divers in the Prem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the way that he can exaggerate contact in a really like obvious but relatively believable way.
Yeah, Kane should take some notes for next time he does it.
Yeah, he's terrible at it.
So Cucho averages around 19 pressures a game, which isn't bad, not great. Pretty middle of the line for like a pressing forward, but he is an aside to Huesca because they were so like passive, because they were so bad. They kind of sat back a lot and he was just out there on his own. He's like watching Alexis Sanchez for us in the last 10 months, where he just ran about doing whatever he wanted to. And the thing with him and Huesca as well is that Huesca, despite finishing like 17th, they're in the top 10 for shots per game. And I think Chucho, whatever he's called. I think he's not that much of a shot monster either, so I don't know who's shooting for them.
That would worry me though, because like, yeah, maybe you might be right. I think whoever they sign needs to be shot monster to fill in the boots.
He was getting like 3.3 shots a game last season, and it was like, pretty good.
Like Kucherov had like 1.6 from in the box as well, and inside this relegated, it's not too bad. Like,
and quite creative too.
Yeah,
I was just looking up his XG numbers because I remember looking at this. So he got 4 goals, 3 assists, but XG said he should have got 10.6 goals and 4.6 assists. So you'd actually have expected him to have over 15 goal involvements.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
20.
20. In La Liga, playing for a side that got relegated. Like, his expected assist per game is actually 0.19, which is like a pretty solid creative wide guy number. Yeah.
Good option, but do you think he would hit, like...
You need someone to hit the ground running.
Yeah, you can't...
But he's coming out of a top league. Like, he's coming out of La Liga.
For a shit
and paying from... Yeah, but that... If anything, that helps. I'm like, if he can get himself 3.5 shots a game, pretty much, and good quality chances, playing for a side that got relegated, then I think when he's got Maddison, when he's got Chilwell, when he's got Pereira, when he's got Tielemans, and he doesn't need to play every game. You can literally play... If you bought him in now, say in January, he could play against the easy teams, or he could play the last half hour of games.
That's my gripe with what Leicester are doing now. They need someone to slowly bed in, because no one's going to be able to take the mantle from Vardy straight away. And Vardy's not going to be able to last for the next 2 years playing every game like he has been for the last like 4 years.
You never know, mate. That snizz is a miracle.
And it looks like Watford as well are going to sell for reasonable prices.
Yeah, they wanted 25 million for Resca last year. 25 million euros, that was, for Resca. Really? But he's still there.
But do you not think that's because they're selling to Spain? I feel like if they were selling to Leicester, it's like an extra 15
maybe,
on top
but
of that.
But they sold Luka Bakio for 20. Even if they ask you for 30, I think 30 now is less than it was when they spent it on Slimani. And it's a much better gamble. Like, worst case scenario, you could probably flip him and sell him to a medium or upper level Spanish club, like a Villarreal or a Sevilla or someone, for probably 25 mil later on.
I do have some worries about Cucciolo. I mean, he does dribble a lot, but that's because there is literally no other attacking output in Huesca's side, really. And when you watch him play, he's so right-footed. Like, he's scarily right-footed. Like, I watched about 10 minutes highlight. I don't think I saw him use his left foot once, which is a big worry, considering Vardy can just get a shot off of anything.
He's not great.
He's not great, but he's still like better than what
it's an effective
from
tool,
Kucho.
Isn't it? Like, Premier League defenders,
you need that air on unpredictability, which I don't think Cucho has. But obviously, he's a better dribbler and made his Colombia debut like last year and scored 2 goals on it.
He's insanely young as well.
Yeah.
He's so young.
So, I mean, it'll be a huge gamble for anyone buying him, but I think Leicester have got to start taking big gambles soon. Otherwise, they'll end up with no replacement and end up with Jose Perez up top.
I would buy him. I'd happily buy him, like, for Arsenal. Like, I really would. Like, as a backup forward. Like, 20 years old and putting up those numbers, that is rare. And so, like, if you can get him in for a reasonable fee, like... Next season, like, if I were Arsenal, I'd probably sell Lacazette, and then I'd probably buy like a left winger and a young striker. And if you were going to buy a young striker, well, depending how Nketiah does, if you were going to buy a young striker, I really don't think that outside of the top level, there'll be a better prospect around than Cucho.
All right, well, I've gone for somebody who's a little bit more well known. I think Leicester can afford to punch a lot higher than a Cucho Hernandez, given that they've taken 80 in for Harry Maguire, didn't re-spend it. They've taken, what did they get for Mahrez? 67, something, was it? 70?
Something ridiculous.
Didn't really re-spend. I suppose they spent it on Perez, and they bought Harvey Barnes back, didn't
they? And they bought Tielemans.
Oh yeah, of course, Tielemans. Yeah. So I think they've got a very healthy paycheck. So I've gone for Moussa Dembélé. I think there's obviously issues with Brendan Rodgers. I know what Leicester fans are saying at home. Well, they hate each other. Yeah, maybe, but we're ignoring that for the sake of it.
Didn't he tweet and call him a snake? I told you so.
And also,
they don't like each other.
While Leicester can punch reasonably high, like, Lyon have Champions League football every year, and...
Didn't stop Fekir going to Betis, though, did it?
Yeah, but he had a year left on his contract, and they clearly wanted to sell him. Like, and Lyon are like... they've already warned off Man United and Juventus for Moussa Dembélé, but Leicester are going to get the job done.
Yeah, it's very punchy, I'm not going to lie.
It would be sick, though.
But I think it would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And so the main issues are getting him out of Lyon, which would take a bucket load of cash, because I think they'd be more willing to let him go than they would Memphis.
Maybe, yeah. To be honest, I can't make head or tail of them anymore. I didn't think they'd sell so many guys this summer.
Yeah, really bizarre.
If they sell Aouar next summer, then I think it'd be really hard to get anyone else out of them.
Yeah, it would. You're definitely right. But if we could get him out and he does get over the tiff with Brendan Rodgers, you get a fantastic striker to come in and hit the ground running immediately. 17 goal contributions in 2,000 minutes last season, 4 shots per 90. His XGA was around 0.7. And then profiles really similarly to Vardy in his shot locations. So Vardy took 79 shots last season, as I said earlier, and 5 of them came from outside the area. Moussa Dembélé took 76 shots last season, 9 came from outside of the area. He's got a great record under Rodgers as well. I think at one stage last season, he had the 5th best goal contribution by XG in Europe. It was Mbappe, Messi,
like
Lewandowski, Aguero and Moussa Dembélé. Now, I once said that Moussa will definitely end up at Brighton. Seems like that could have been another Teemu Pukki shout from me. But imagine if Leicester could get a player of this level. Like, this is the punch that says we are going for top six. Like, if ever there's a time to go, right, we're not going to mess about anymore, we are going for it big time, is to go out and compete with Manchester United for a player. Because Manchester United are not the most desirable prospect right now. If I was Moussa Dembélé, I'd end up at Man United. But if Leicester came in with a big pay packet and Lyon wanted to sell one of their forwards in order to keep Memphis apart, I would be like, Leicester's not the worst option.
I mean, I feel like Leicester are the best equipped to break into that top six. I feel like,
having watched Wolves against Man United on Monday, I could not agree more.
But the thing is, breaking into the top six isn't worth anything. Breaking into the top four is worth something, because you get money and you get Champions League football. But if they finish sixth this season, they finish above Chelsea, for example.
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, do you really think there's a player who'll be like, yeah, I'll go there because they finished above Chelsea?
No, but I think there'll be players that'll be thinking that I can see a clear path of progression for that team.
I don't know, because I think Chelsea will spend a fortune next summer. I think Arsenal will add another centre-back and an attacker. I think United will realise that they've made some big mistakes and will spend a fortune, especially if Pogba goes. Like, and yeah, don't get me wrong, like, I do think it would be a real statement of intent. It would be an amazing player for them to get. And I think you're right, they need to target a player. Either they need to buy a youngster who turns into that guy, or they need to just buy that guy who takes them to the next level. But I still think Arsenal didn't make top six last season, and Arsenal's attack had Lacazette, Aubameyang in it, and Ozil. Like, it had tons of top level talent. Like, if you just add one superstar to Leicester, do they suddenly finish in the top four? Probably not.
You're right. But I was just looking at the other options, and I was thinking, like, some of the Milan boys. Milan tend to sign decent strikers and not get enough game time. Like, Cotrone was, I think, a good pick up by Wolves. That would have been a good level signing for Leicester as a backup replacement. I think Schick is available out of Roma right now. I saw RB Leipzig were in talks with him about a potential move
RB
there.
RB Leipzig want to get rid of Jean-Kevin Augustin.
Yeah, so maybe Augustin, but...
Or even just go and...
Tough.
On this topic, like, even just go and offer the money for Werner. Like, if they knew that Werner was being shopped around this summer and Bayern were basically saying, nah, we'll get him for free next year. Look, do I think they'd have got him? Probably not. But weird things have happened. And I wouldn't. And if they went to him and they were like, you know what, we've got Tielemans, we've got Maddison, we've got some great players, we'll give you like a 4-year contract, so you can probably leave in like 3. And we are going to pay like 40 mil up front now to Leipzig, and we're going to pay you 150k a week.
Or they could have also gone out in a slightly different realm and gone and got a Lacadia. But they did. I don't really understand the recruitment of strikers this summer, with Ayoze Perez being the top target. It's just so bizarre. I think there were a few options out there in the mix.
Where is Perez even playing? Is he playing on the wing?
Playing on the wide right. He's playing a 4-2-3-1 as he did at Leicester, and he's playing Perez on the right, Maddison through the middle, and then it's kind of like, it's more of a 4-3-3, I suppose, with Hamza Choudhury kind of drifting left, and it's, I don't really get
I sort of thought of it as a diamond, like, and it was like Vardy and Perez up front, but Perez was dropping drifting out right and Maddison was sort of drifting left.
I felt a little bit like Perez was taking up pockets of room that I would rather Maddison was filling.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't get the Perez signing at all.
Yeah, it feels a little bit bizarre. And I just think, as I said at the start, he's purple patch Perez. He only scores in bunches and then goes away for the next 6 months of the season.
The Spanish Jesse Lingard.
Well, Jesse Lingard doesn't have purple patch. Let's have that right. He hasn't got a goal and assist.
He hasn't got one in 18 months.
He hasn't got a goal or an assist since 2019.
You know, I think a good prospect for this player that pushes Leicester up is Harvey Barnes. Like, if I were trying to buy a young forward... And he's already done it, doing it in the Premier League. Like, Harvey Barnes' numbers over a half season last year were unbelievable.
But it's just not the point, man, is it?
No, but, like, if you just have one elite attacker, like, even in a wide position, that could push you up a long way. And, yes, he's not the point guy, but he takes a ton of shots and a ton of shots from inside the box. And he's really young and he's really fast and he's creative as well. So, I mean, that can be your player who really makes the difference. And if you put the right talent around him... My concern is that they're just going to like strike out again and again and again on strikers for Vardy.
Should have gone for Lukaku, mate.
I mean,
what did we sell him for in the end? 68 plus add-ons.
Yeah.
What about
like
taking Batshuayi off Chelsea? They don't care. They're probably giving to you for like 20 mil.
They will give you to him for cheap, and rightly so.
And why not? Why not take him for like 20 mil and give him some minutes? He does score. Like, nobody seems to like him.
Very unconventionally for Palace last year, but often with deflections.
yeah, but like, he's just like, I mean, it's better than Benteke, who manages to somehow steal me.
How are they not getting relegated?
Don't you think that must worry you? Like, if you bash away, like, they didn't take up the option to take him, and they've got only Benteke.
Did they actually have an option to
take him? Even if they didn't, Chelsea would have happily let him go, given that he's not even travelling with the squad.
I think they probably kept him, like, until Lampard had a look at him, and by that time everyone was like, nah,
we don't fancy him. Like,
I don't really get it, because he literally scores everywhere he goes.
But everywhere he goes, nobody likes him. Like, the fans don't like him, the manager doesn't like him, the board doesn't like him, and he ends back up at Chelsea.
So weird, man.
And Palace would rather have Benteke and Connor Wickham.
Jesus. I know.
Benteke literally cannot score anymore as well.
Yeah, Benteke, has he scored a goal this year? In this calendar year.
He scored like two goals last year, and one of them was against Arsenal, inevitably.
Who are you bringing to the table? Who's your bloke?
I've got Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Who's this? Never heard of him.
He's at Mainz.
You sound like Carl Pilkington there.
Yeah. He's another French player. Actually, all my... Who was my midfielder? Oh, no, he's Spanish, thank God. Yeah, another French player anyway. He's 22. He's at Mainz. There were loads of rumours about him going to Newcastle earlier in the summer before Newcastle ended up going for Joel.
Bullet dodged.
Yeah,
huge bullet dodge.
That was a bullet dodge. And I think it was because like Mainz were like, we want like 35 million euros, which is pretty reasonable.
What do you mean it's a bullet dodge? Newcastle?
For him.
Yeah, for him. For him. Whereas Joel Linton was like, yeah, I'll do that.
I don't mind.
There is the part of me that thinks Newcastle get relegated and a Spurs or a Liverpool just pick up Joel Linton and like have him as
a
young rotation.
Like a Shaqiri.
I would pick up Joel Linton as a rotation option for Firmino if I were at Liverpool. And if he's no good, who cares? Sell him. But he is good. He is going to be good.
I mean, I think he might have been suffering from the Nagelsmann effect.
I think he's really good, man.
Get Belfodil like, in. It's the only way to sort this out.
Because equally, you could say the Steve Bruce effect is not going to be kind to him. Like, it has not been.
But the Nagelsmann swing is so high when it comes to attackers.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think
he's the Felipe Luis of Hoffenheim.
I think he improves people, though. Like, I think he actually improves people. Like, don't get me wrong, someone like Belfodil, when you're just a poacher and you just like sit in the box and they give you chances and you can't miss them, I think that's different from someone like Joel Linton, who is creating and shooting and dribbling, and he's just made the mistake of going to a club where it's him and Sam Maximan and a little bit Jonjo Shelvey.
I do feel sorry for him. Although, like, having watched the first two games, like, the premise of like him creating his own chances is up.
He did drill past like three of our defenders once. Then
that was mental.
It was such a bobbly mess. No cleanliness to it.
But that was the thing, though. In that game, then the commentators were like, "Oh, he should do better there." And I was like, "He's beaten like three guys to get a shot off."
But it was such a Theo Walcott dribble. Like, he just didn't know
that was
what
going
it was
in,
happening.
Man.
He was just hitting his feet and going in the right direction.
I like Joel.
I can't believe Newcastle have to watch that team play. Season tickets have to watch that team play for the entirety of next season. All it was Paul Almiron and Joe Linton up front. Absolutely no one in a space between them, and Jonjo Shelvey just lumping it up.
And then
to
Sam Maximan comes on and just runs around the pitch, falls over, really jumps worrying. Up, falls over, jumps. There was a moment where Sam Maximan like did like some weird.
It was like a wrestling. It was like something out of wrestling.
Yeah, he fell over and he did like the self writing thing where he like.
I felt like there and then Steve Bruce made his decision that he's not going to be a starter. That
was absolutely incredible. I really enjoyed that. Like, I think Sam Maximan is going to be one of those fun players to watch this season because he's just like he's like a Dama Traore. He's just going to like absolutely sprint up the wing and accomplish nothing.
He,
at the
by
end
the way,
of the
absolutely killed us on the weekend on Monday at Dama Traore.
Well,
he didn't.
He changed the game. Actually create anything. He just ran.
No, but he was actually quite effective. Like even when he put balls in the box, I was like, that's the best ball I've ever seen Dama Traore put in the box.
There was a rumor at one point he was going to go to Spurs, and I was like, Dama Traore is played wing back for Spurs would be fucking hilarious.
He's so fast.
That's the kind of thing where I can imagine Pochettino being like, I'm just gonna see if I can turn anyone into the best right.
The only manager who's got anything out of him so far in his entire career, given he's been at Barcelona as well, has been Tony Pulis.
Yeah, and he was good, right? Yeah, he was really good.
Jesus Christ.
So, what you want to do is just play 10 men behind the ball and then, like, every now and then, Traore just sprints up the wing.
So what is it about this Mateta, then, that makes him the
apart
man
from
to,
why is he turning
to
down
Phil
Vardy? He actually came through Lyon's academy, which is normally, like, quite a good seal sign of approval. And he went to Mainz in 2018 for €10 million, which is the biggest fee they've ever paid. €10 million. Last season in the Bundesliga, age 22, first year there, 14 goals, 2 assists, which about matches up to XG. 0.6 expected goals and assists per 90. Vardy on about 0.67. But Mateta's very young. Mainz came 12th of 18 in the Bundesliga. So you would expect that those numbers might tick up a little bit with better creators around him. Whereas last season, it was like him and Bama at Mainz. It was like pretty unimpressive stuff. Offside 1.3 times a game. Obviously not going to say that's good,
well,
but it's about the same as Vardy, yeah. You know, so like stylistically kind of similar. Way more of an aerial threat though. He's 6'4".
Is he quick?
Yeah, he's pretty quick. He's not like insanely quick, but he's pretty quick. Like he's got a good
Vardy's
first step.
Gas.
He's got a good first step and he can dribble a bit as well. Like 1.2 dribbles a game. Vardy's on like 0.4. Their key passes are the same, like a bit over one. And in the air, you know, Vardy won 38% of his aerial duels last year, and I assume those were by accident. Mateta wins over half.
Their dive's gone wrong.
No, they weren't. They were guaranteed, like, elbow, forearm to the cheek.
Well, and then
like,
called back.
The bloke's, like, injured down here. Vardy's won the header, called back for a foul.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Mateta as well, 3.5 shots a game, 2.7 from inside the area. So he takes more shots from inside the area than Vardy takes overall per game. But the difference is mostly made up of shots. But the difference in shot numbers is often like kind of from headers. Like when you look at shots taken with the feet from inside the box, they're about level 1.6, 1.7. But obviously the fact that he's got this number of goals shows that he's like a pretty decent finisher. Like 14 goals from 14 expected goals. Like it's about what you'd expect. And Vardy generally has been like a goals equals expected goals player. Like he finishes at the rate you'd expect. And so if he's getting those number of chances, I'm quite pleased. And he'll give you a bit more from crosses, which I think is helpful with Chilwell and Pereira. He's going to give you a bit more from set pieces, which is also good when you've got delivery coming in from Madison and Tielemans. 35 to 40 million euros. I think that's a price that Leicester could easily afford. Like if I were Leicester, I'd probably take punts on like maybe two young forwards and probably a new backup left back and new backup right back, and that would be my business next summer. And I think if he's as good as he looks like he could be, he'll be one of Mainz's best exports along with Abdou Diallo and Johannes Gutenberg, who invented the printing press.
So who are we going for then in this position? I think it's the impossible replacement.
Moose is the best player,
but he's not going to get picked up by them. So let's scratch his name from the record.
You know, Cucho seems like the most Vardy type. Okay. I don't think he's going to... And I do think Cucho, if he gets the right move and he's not a total dickhead, he will become a very high-level striker.
I mean, he's unbelievable foot manager as well. Always top goal scorer in the Premier League for Watford.
Okay, so let's go with Cucho Hernandez filling the Jamie Vardy role.
Plus he's 20, he's not going to mind being on the bench, is he?
True.
He'll sit on the bench, it'll be totally fine, and then in a year or two's time, he'll be ready
to
go.
They need to flog Iheanacho to Galatasaray.
Yeah, but I'd keep Iheanacho rather than like give minutes. I'd definitely sell Damara Gray because he's still super highly rated, even though he's trash. And like, if you're going to play Perez, I just think, Why don't you play Iheanacho, who at least is a better passer than Perez and is faster? My issue with Perez is if Perez were really fast, I actually wouldn't mind it as much.
Yeah.
But he's not fast. He's not a good dribbler. He's not a good creator. He's not a good goal scorer. He's not big. What is it he's good at? I just do not understand that
purple
guy being
patches.
There.
Purple patches. He's a purple patch Perez. Did he get 9 goals last season? I think he got 7 in 2 games.
Jesus.
No, he didn't. That was a joke, obviously. But there was one moment where I think he got a hat-trick, didn't he, in one game. And then the game before that, I think he got 2 assists. And I think he got 9 goal contributions overall.
Yikes.
But 30 mil. That's what he gets you nowadays.
Brilliant.
30 mil is a new 10 mil.
Bargain.
Yep. Anyway, so that is our summary of how to replace some of Europe's most irreplaceable players in their squad. Let us know which topic you think we should cover next week on Sunday Vibes Extra Time.
So that was this week's episode. Thank you very much to Joe and George, and thanks to The Athletic. Don't forget to visit theathletic.co.uk/Sunday Vibes, all lowercase, to receive 50% off your yearly subscription, £2.50 a month, to get access to the new home of football writing. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.